le brigedele ke banadala do masekete kapradi malinga shata le gedegede banadala do ko segedi kapa le gedegedo branagadele ko shada le branande sugradina hata le go shade.
Come on, pray, pray, just pray. Kalisto kopoli razate kopala gozatete. Rate ke pole malimo so toko pala kozata. Liros te kepala gadida zota makapo shatama gabi. Braka zota malimo shatama limo zota malimo zota makata. Laga zota maga brola mosa tama limo zopa limo sente magati. Oh, kolara mosa tama limo zota malimo shatama la rosate. Malamo zatele zota. Mazatole rosa te dago rasa te Zatole rosa taka rosa te maka pala maka debole oza Rosa ta maka pala moza taka dada de. Oh, glory to God. Lali ozo tali mozo ta maka pala mraste ke di Mala 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 mazunda mala mazunda mala rosa mala mozenta La de keso te 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 Mazatole rosa taka ta mala mala mozo ta mao. From my heart to the heaven, Jesus be the center. He's all about you. Yes, he's all about you. From my heart,
from my heart to the heaven,
Jesus. It's all about you. It's all about you. Our salvation, our redemption. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen, amen. Have your seat, everybody. Thank you. Yes, it's all about you. Oh, glory to God. Sata kapala dao rastege pola deko lastege pala de. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. We give glory to God. We give glory to God. Oh, we give glory to God. Yes, we give glory to God. Amen, amen. Are you with me today? Okay, because today I think just follow me the way as we go. There will be a topic that I want us to look at briefly, maybe just three parts or four parts. It will support what we are studying under our Jesus and our salvation. Okay, I call it the covenant, amen. The covenant. Before I go to the topic, and three things you must be ready to do as a minister of the New Testament. Three things you must be ready, be always prepared to do. Like, that is, number one is, as you are learning these things, you must invest time. Invest time into understanding. That's number one. Invest time to the spirituals. You must invest time. See, if you are not ready to... I've seen, right now, There are three things that every minister of the gospel you must avoid. You must avoid prayerlessness. You must avoid ego. Then you must avoid not devoting your time to the spirituals. You must avoid it. We don't need such luxury in a time like this. Amen? See, I stay off prayerlessness. See, I stay off ego. Because when you allow these three things, prayerlessness, ego, and when you are not investing, see, there's like there's a difference between the fact that you can give a tongue and interpret, and you spend time on it. You spend time mastering it. E.g., for instance, you should be the best recipient of your of edification, of prophecy. You should bless yourself so much at home. Amen. Just stand at home. At least, you know, you cannot lie to yourself. You'll be sincere to yourself. You sit down. You just speak a share time. You just sit down. You pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues. Then you interpret for yourself. You bless yourself. You laugh alone. You rejoice alone. You start again. You let go of ego. You let go of not investing time in the spirituals. And you let go of prayerlessness. Say practice. Say I give time to practice. So that's just all. It's not that you are less than who God has made you. It's not that you are not yet there. Come on, you are already there. But you just need to spend time to abound on what you have received. Say, I spend time. Say, I abound in all I have received. You must spend time on them. They are not just things that, don't allow them to just jump on you like a manifestation that comes and goes. No, you spend time on it. Then, when I speak of ego, it's also transcend to like. Don't get familiar with the word of God's grace, and don't get familiar with the preacher of God's grace. You understand what I mean? Like, don't allow familiarity to rob you of being blessed. You say, "Is it not normal our salvation that Pastor will only come and talk about forgiveness?" No, you don't allow familiarity to set in. You don't allow dishonor for the word or dishonor for the minister of the word. It will affect the way you receive. Praise God. Okay, I will talk more on this maybe on Saturday when we come together again. So today, the covenants. The word covenant in the Greek, that is, please write this down if you are writing, D-I-A-T-H-E-K-E. Dia teke. Something like that. Dia teke. It means a disposition. It means a contract. It means a disposition or a contract. I will be a bit fast because I have something else to do today. But in the Hebrew, of course, don't forget the New Testament. Of course, what I mean by Matthew to Revelations, written in Greek. Whereas Genesis to Malachi, written in what? Hebrew. So in the Hebrew, the word covenant is a slightly different word. It's spelled B-E-R-W-E-T-H. B-E-R-W-E-T-H. It means like a confederacy, a league. A confederacy, a league. So In both places, it refers to a commitment between two parties. I will do something and you will also do something. Are you with me? Brethren, are you with me? I will do something. You have your own part to play. So, where we first saw the word covenant in the Bible, that should be Genesis chapter 6, verse 18. Be fast. Genesis 6, 18. I will just go there straight away. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, and thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. That was the first time you will see the word covenant in the Bible. That is talking to Noah. Genesis 6, verse 18. Now, please write this down. Write this down. In the Old Testament, we found the word covenant used 255 times. That's a lot. Minimum of 255 times. Actually, it's over 270. But the one that are distinct, that are direct, not just a play of words, over 255 times we saw the word covenant in the Old Testament. Are you with me? But in the New Testament, funny enough, the word covenant was used only 18 times. In the Old, how many times? 254. In the New, how many times? 18 times. Follow me. So, it is used 3 times by Luke. I mean, Luke used the word 3 times. Once in his gospel, twice in the book of Acts. You know, he authored both of them. Luke used the word covenant 3 times. Once in the gospel of, Luke, and 2 times in the book of Acts of the Apostles. But in the epistles, Paul used the term 3 times. That is in Romans. We are going to go in there. Romans and Galatians. He used the word covenant 3 times. And the remaining part in the New Testament, it was used 12 times by the writer of the book of Hebrews. You say, there's a school of thought that it was Paul that wrote Hebrews, but since it's not clear, so I decided not to call it that. It's not clear. It's not clear from all the evidence we have around. Now, let's look at where it is being used in the epistles. Follow me carefully. I'm going somewhere. I'm not just trying to teach you stuff to no avail. Romans 11 verse 26. Rejoice. Ensure you listen to this carefully. It will help you with several questions of Bible interpretation. Romans 11, 26. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. Verse 28, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. Go to Galatians. Galatians 3, 15 and 17. I'll just read down first. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. 17. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, non disannul, that the that it should make the promise of none effect. Okay. So we saw that in both places, it was actually talking to like a Jewish audience. Amen? It was talking to a Jewish audience. Like, okay, perhaps not really a Jewish audience. Sorry. That's not how to put it. It was referring to what was being done under the Old Testament. I am coming. See this, go back to that Galatians chapter 3. Verse 17. I say that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law. So who was given the law? The Jews, right? So it was, when we add the term the new covenant, we have the Jews as in mind. Hold on. Go to that Romans 11, 27. Romans 11. You see 26. He said, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn ungodliness from who? From Jacob. Talking about who? The Jews. Right? Now, so, write this down carefully. The term the new covenant came up because we are trying to explain that term, the new covenant, it came up because we are trying to explain what we have in Christ to men that had the old covenant. That term, the new covenant, it came up because we are trying to explain what we have in Christ to men that had the old covenant. That is why anytime you read them, you read that term, new covenant, actually, the details you will read in the epistles, it doesn't look like a covenant anymore. Because don't forget, originally, what is a covenant? Two parties come to what? And come to a concord, right? I will do this, you will do this. If I fail in my part, you can fail in your part. Are you with me? Now, so So, and you understand from just the simple thing I've said now that the word covenant does not really have to do with a book. It is a relationship. It is a what? Relationship between two parties. Hallelujah. So, why we call a book, why we can call a book the Old Testament is because the book is louder on the practices of the Old Covenant. Why we call a book the Old Testament is because the book is what? Louder on the practices of the Old Covenant. But don't forget, the Old Covenant itself is not a book. It is a relationship between God and man based on works. You do your part, I do my part. So I am now saying the terms. Although we saw a word new covenant, when you see new covenant, you'll be expecting that it will maybe it is only the terms and condition that changed. Man is here to do something, and then God will also do his part. But when you read those places that is being used, where it's being used in the epistles, you will not see any parts that man is to play. So you'll be wondering that which type of covenant is this? Are you with me? Are you with me, brethren? Good. So go back to that Romans 11 again. 27. Just the places that the word covenant is being used in the epistles. Just follow me slowly, 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 and you will get it. Are you there, somebody? Romans 11, 27. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. So, what will God do in that place? God will take away their sins. What will they do? From where you just read, what will they do for God to take away their sins? Nothing is being said. So, from that, it doesn't look like a covenant anymore. Because from the word covenant, it means a contract. I sign my part, you sign your part. I fail, you fail. Go back to that Galatians 3:15. Oh, glory to God. This will assist you before I move forward in that series, our salvation. Galatians 3:15, and I want to put this in a different series so that you can refer to it easily. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man dishonoreth or added thereto. 16, now to Abraham and to his seed were the words, promises made. He said not as to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed which is Christ. 17, and this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Hallelujah. Something has changed right now. So from what we just read, the new covenant can be otherwise called what? Called what, brethren? Promise. Did you see that? Promise was now being used repeatedly. What is promise in the Greek? That is the Greek word epagelia, right? Epagelia. It's not epa, it's granite, amen? It's epa, write it down. You need this in when you be explaining to people in your evangelism, your teaching meeting, in your school, as you be explaining, you need to be giving these details. Epagelia, epagelia. Oh, I love it. It means a pledge. A divine assurance of good. A self-commitment. Ooh. In a covenant, we have two parties signing. But in a promise, it is just one man that is saying, yeah, I will get this done. Are you with me? So the new covenant, when it's being explained, it is used, the word promise is being used. He said to Abraham, I will bless you. I will heal you. I will provide for you. I will pay your debt. I will give you a son. What will you do? Do nothing. Hallelujah. Say, do nothing. Say, God will bless you and you will do nothing. That is a promise. Self-commitment. I am committed to loving you. I am committed to caring for you. I am committed, and you will do nothing. See the same Galatians 3:25. But after faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on who? Christ. 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither what? Born nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. 29. One to go, everybody. If you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to hallelujah. So we see God blessing man. We see God blessing. We see man receiving without doing anything. That is what is being called the new covenant. Now, this is where I'm going. You will now wonder, why didn't a book like Ephesians, Colossians, Thessalonians, even James, books like Romans, even quoted just once, that is in Romans 11, and other book of the New Testament generally, we didn't find the word covenant there. We didn't find the word new covenant there. Why? Because the new covenant is no more a commitment between two parties. It's a commitment of one party. So, grammatically, it is wrong to call what we have today a what? Covenant. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, why did we have the word new covenant? Don't forget, I said in the Old Testament, I mean, it's from Genesis to Malachi, we found that word used how many times? Over 250 times. That means truly there's a covenant. But in the whole New Testament, we found it only 18 times. And the 18 times, we saw that it was even only talking strictly to people who had the old covenant. So that they can drop what they have before and pick what they have in Christ, he now used the term words new covenant. But truly, it is not a covenant. It is a what? It's a promise. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory. So see that Hebrews chapter 8 verse 6. Something that God by himself alone will fulfill. God by himself alone. Hebrews 8 verse 6, open and be fast. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also is a mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Verse 7, for if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. Verse 8, for finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a what? New covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Where was that prophecy taken from? That is Jeremiah, right? Jeremiah, good. So, verse 9, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continue not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, said the Lord. Now, see verse 10. Pay attention. Let's read together from verse 10. One to go. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, said the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. 11. And they shall not teach any man his neighbor and any man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. Verse 12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. 13. In that he set a new covenant, he had made the first old. Now that which decayed and waxed old is ready to vanish. Hallelujah. So from where you just read, what is man expected to do? Nothing. Who is the doer? God. See, can you see the number of I will, I will, I will? That verse 10 say, I will put my laws into your heart. I will be to them a God. You know, it's God making a promise. Is God like swearing by himself? I will do this. I will do this. I will do this. Hallelujah. Say the new covenant is I will. Say the new covenant is God saying I will. Glory to God. So they did nothing. He did everything. They only received. That is contrary to the use of the word covenant. I've told you, covenant is I do something, you do something. I fail in my path, you are free to fail in your path. See verse 12. Verse 12. But this man, of verse 12 of Hebrews 10, sorry. Hebrews 10, verse 12. You will do nothing. God will just do everything. I don't want to use the word new covenant again. I hope you understand. If I say I'm not using new covenant again, I hope you understand right now. So, verse 12, follow me. But, okay. Battery issues here. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, sat down on the right hand of God. Verse 13, from henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Verse 14, for by one offering he hath perfected for how long? Forever, them that are sanctified. Don't worry, sit down, Brother Joshua, focus. 15, wherefore the Holy Ghost is also a witness to us after he has said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them. After those days, say the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their mind will I write them. And in their sins and their iniquities will I remember? Verse 18, want to go? Now where remission of this is, there is no more offering for sin. That is a promise. That is a promise. You will do nothing, yet I will forgive you. See that Hebrews 12, verse 22. This is another place the word covenant was used in the book of Hebrews. Look at your Bible. I wait for you. Hebrews 12, 22. Hebrews 12, 22. Okay, good. Let's read together. Want to go? Are you there? But you are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to a innumerable company of angels. 23, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written where? And to God, the judge of all, and to the spirit of just men made. 24, want to go everybody? And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Hallelujah. That would mean if I am talking to a Gentile, to somebody that had no clue to the Old Testament today, that would mean is I can do a better job by not mentioning the word covenant at all. Do you understand? Because God never made the old covenant with the Gentiles. It was only with one tribe out of the thousands of tribes in the world, which is the tribe of the Jews, the Israel. So that, don't forget, he chose Israel so that the whole world can be blessed. Are you with me, brethren? So, in the entire Bible, now I will now backtrack a bit now. So if you came late, you should grab from the stuffs I'm about to say. In the entire Bible, we have two relationships that is being preached or practiced. Write that down. In the entire Bible, we have two types of relationship that is being preached or practiced. And you know, when I'm talking about relationship, it is basically one of the basic terms of this stuff is, number one, forgiveness of sin. Number two, justification. Basic. What do I call it? Number two, that will mean in the contrast, it will be, okay, God will say, I will forgive you if you do this, right? I will justify you if you do this. Praise God. I will forgive you provided you do this. I will justify you provided you do this. So any relationship between God and man based on the performance of man is called the old covenant. Any relationship between God and man that will be based on the performance of man is called what? The old covenant. But when man is to do nothing, but just to receive what God has done, that is what they refer to as the new. Glory. Now, let me now divert into some small theology. You might have been, if you have If you are told that you have attended Bible school before, like myself, you will have heard that there is a Noah's covenant, a Davidic covenant, a Abrahamic covenant, a Mosaic, plenty. Like, there was a time that some people, somebody said, we have over 12 covenants in the Bible. He said, if you don't know the 12, you cannot really be a full minister like that. Say, hey, 12, my God. See, to separate all those entities individually is simply bad Bible appreciation. See Galatians 4:24. To say we have a covenant with a Noah covenant, an Abrahamic covenant, a Lot covenant. Now, do you know we have an Agai covenant. How do you call it? Is it Agaic? A guy covenant. Amen. See, Galatians 4:24. How many covenants are recognized in the Bible? Galatians 4:24. One, two, go. Let's read. Which things are an allegory? For these are the one from the Mount Sinai which dried into, which is Agar. So, all those plenty covenants that might exist in your Bible school, they are all subcontracts or different presentation of these two. By the time you read the terms under the Davidic covenant, you will realize it is either talking about the old, is either a different presentation of the new or of the old. I think in this church, I think I've read it down to you before. That should be one of his psalms. When he told David, he said, even if your children offend me, yet I will correct them, but I will not take my kindness from the house of David. Wow. What is that? What is that? New covenant. So is that a separate covenant meant for David alone? No. When you saw of Noah, that it's written that, he told Noah that when Noah came out of the ark, he offered a sacrifice, and there appeared the rainbow, and God said from henceforth, no matter what man does or does not do, there will never be a flood that will take over the earth again. Is that new? No. I'm not saying it's that new covenant. Is that unheard of before? No, that is a presentation of which one? Of the name. So, how many covenants do we have in the Bible? Two. Praise God. Now, so, who preached the Old Testament? Sorry, the Old Covenant. Prophets. What of the new? Prophets too. Oh. So, funny enough, in the same book, in the same speech, you can see a prophet preach what? The old, and also preach the new. Now I've told you, I said, it is something that is being preached or practiced. E.g., when David entered into the temple and took the bread that is not meant for him, he says for the priest, but he took it. What is he practicing there? Hallelujah. Which is the new? Yes. Brethren, are you with me? So, old came, write this down, I will explain we are going to continue on this one on Saturday. Don't forget, please, I am doing a lot of things in this place. Try and appreciate that I am doing. I, capital letter, I. I'm not, try and appreciate it. If you are going, you know how much more I desire for you to understand the word, get the truth. That is why I do live stream. I'm not interested in public media. I'm not really interested that much in being known all over Africa. If that's what I'm doing, I'll just sponsor some of those my posts and thousands of people will see it. That's not my point. Why we are live streaming is that this Abuja is a long place. You may be coming from Gbagbalada or somewhere very far. Do me a favor and have data on your phone. have data on your phone. Once it is 6 o'clock, just stand by your Facebook to my to my profile. Once we are live, you start with us. Put in your earpiece. Take advantage of technology. It's not only when it is Friday night, you just pick your phone and say you want to browse all the YouTube, you want to sing or browse all the song. I mean, dedicate data for that one. Are you with me? So you won't come in half of the message and you are looking like a what? Like a youth planted ships. Who told you I was talking to you? So now on this one, lastly for today, I want to write down something. Old came into being because men rejected the new. The old came into being because what? Men rejected the new. Now, I was saying something initially. You will see Isaiah talk about, hey, woe unto you, you are putting on this. Woe unto you, you are wearing a Babylonian garment. Woe unto you, you are putting a ring. Like, woe unto you, you are doing this. Woe unto you. The same Isaiah just one day come and say, he was wounded for our transgressions. Sir, your own transgression is there too. It's there. So the same prophets can say the two. But most of the time, when we study the life of the prophet, we discover that the prophets gave them the old because they rejected the new. Hallelujah. We will see that much more later. Now, lastly for today, when did the Old Testament commence? Go back to Hebrews 8. Hebrews 8 from verse 6. Come on, be there as fast as you can. But now as he obtained a more excellent ministry, but how much also is the mediator of a better covenant which was established upon better promises. Verse 7, for if that first covenant has been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. Look at your Bible. Verse 8, for finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Verse 9, slowly, want to go? Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not, and I regarded them not. Don't look up, just look at that verse. I gave them a covenant. Okay, let me say this way. They were given a covenant in the day that they were coming out of Egypt, because what? They continued not in my own covenant. Did you see that from that place? So, why were they given the law in Exodus 20? They disregarded one other covenant. Hallelujah. There is something that was communicated that they kept rejecting. So the prophets, to punish them, he gave them the what? The old. Now, please write this down if you're writing. We have shades of a relationship with God based on works or on performance since Genesis chapter 3. Since Genesis chapter 4, self. But Moses came to announce it. Moses came to legalize it. That old covenant, we have the shades even in Genesis. No, from what we read in Hebrews 8, no, right now, throughout Genesis, there was no old covenant, in quotes. There was no law. Let me use the word, there was no law. But some people were relating to God based on what? Performance, e.g. Cain. So, what did Moses came to do? To legalize it. He came to announce it, to institute it well. That's why he said it was ordained by what? Angels in the hand of a mediator. We get to that one very soon. Not today. So also, let me ask this question. When did the New Testament commence? You say at the resurrection? Coming of the Spirit. Do we have people that enjoyed the new covenant even before Jesus died? But what did Jesus came to do? What did Moses do in Exodus 20? He stamped something with what? With blood. What did Jesus do upon his resurrection? Hallelujah. Praise God. So, e.g., in Genesis chapter 1, when you are saying, I want man in my... I said, the new covenant can be preached or what? Practiced. So when you are seeing a message to man that I want man in my own image in Genesis chapter 1, what is that? When you are seeing in Genesis 2 that the tree of life, eat and just eat and live, what is that? In Genesis chapter 3, when you are seeing that the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent and you will do nothing, and he pick a lamb, he kill this, cover them with blood, what is that? But Hebrews 9. Why did Jesus now come? Oh, glory to God. Hebrews 9, verse 16. For, please open to this one and ensure you read. I'm almost done. I want to be done by 7. I'm not saying you're going on by 7. Hebrews 9, verse 16. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the what? Death of the testator. Wow, 17. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. 18. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. 19. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats, and with water and scarlet wood, heaps of sprinkled the blood, the book, and all the people. 20. Saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. 21. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no what? Remission. 23. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with this, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifice than this. Everybody, verse 24. Once you go, let's read. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are a figure of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Let me read 25, read 26 for me. Not yet that he should offer himself as the high priest entering into the holy place every year with the blood of others. 26. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice. Hallelujah. Praise God. So the real game changer was the death of Jesus. The real game changer was that death of Jesus, not his life, not when he was alive on earth. It is the death of Jesus that now made the old covenant illegal. What Moses legalized, the death of Jesus now came to make it what? Illegal. Amen. He now came to make it illegal. Illegal. Meaning you will still find practices of the old covenant even in the preaching of Jesus. Why? It was his death that ended that reign of the law, not his life. If you are writing, write this down. Jesus did not come to preach. He came to die. He didn't come to give you the best sermon. He came to die. All his preaching, without his death, none of his preaching can save anybody until he dies. Are you with me, brethren? Good. He came to die, not to preach. So don't be surprised if you find the shades. Don't forget, I said Moses came to legalize the law. That would mean Jesus must abide under the law of Moses in his words, preaching. Now you will understand why he makes statements like, if you don't forgive your neighbor his trespass, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. What was Jesus doing? He was abiding under the what? Old covenant, as legalized by who? By Moses. But he now gave you an expo. So, play the keyboard for me. John 16, verse 12. Oh, glory to God. He now gave us an expo. I love this. John 16, verse 12. Hey, glory to God. John 16, verse 12. Let's take it together. One, two, go. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot stop. Okay, from what I just taught you, is it only them that cannot bear? Is it only them that cannot bear it, or even he that cannot say it? So they cannot bear it, and it too is not really permitted. What happened? 13. Albeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all the truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. So what people have been doing since Moses legalized the law is that they have been smuggling, let me use that word, they have been smuggling the benefits of a new covenant, even in the old. They have been enjoying it secretly. Hallelujah. Like they have been secretly just like David. Like you will see a woman, Sophronisha woman, right? Came to Jesus. My daughter is vexed with the devil. I just told him, my guy, it is not meant for me to give the children's what? Bread to dogs. Under what condition, under what covenant were Israel separated from the world? The old Mosaic. So Jesus is saying, no, I can't do this. I am not sent to you. And the man now whisper to his ear, say, Jesus, don't forget, even the what? Servants. They eat the dogs, Abby. They eat from the crumbs that fall under this table. What happened? Ah! He said, this is fatal. Take it. And she received. Glory to God. So it was not, he told them in Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. He said, go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's not a new covenant. But yet, we saw the centurion. He was not a Jew. We saw blind Bartimaeus. He was in Jericho. So we are going to see this much more. When you understand, this is just what is lacking, is lacking in basic Bible interpretation. Understanding the covenants. You won't see that story, which we are going to look at, where the master forgave somebody his debt. The guy now went outside. He didn't forgive his neighbor what he has owned him. And the master now called him back. Now, where come? Because you didn't forgive your neighbor. Everything you owe me, now you will pay. That is what? The old covenant. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That's what the Bible says. When he ascended on high, he led captivity captives, and he gave gifts as men. And he gave some apostles, some pastors, some prophets, teachers, pastoral teachers, for the what? Edification of the saints. He said, no, as I'm raised from death, don't forget to read what I said. No, he said, I will give you people. Talking about the epistles. Praying in tongues, everybody. Thank you. So you focus on the epistles. You feast on it. Praying in tongues, everybody. Everything to save the world, he loved. And his hope is an anchor for my soul. My God, you reign unshakable. Talakam. La balas take a load of day.
Elevate Malabra, Kusale, Rayele, Galebu.